Hello, this is Dr. Sarah Beal.
And Dr. Christopher King.
Authors of the pain publication, Heightened Risk for Pain in Young Adult Women with a History of Childhood Maltreatment, a Prospective Longitudinal Study.
It has long been observed by pain researchers and treatment providers that chronic pain sufferers frequently report a history of traumatic early life experiences. But research has not established the causality of this relationship. We are asking whether the experience of early trauma increases the risk of pain in adulthood. The problem is that most studies have focused on individuals who already suffer from pain and have relied on their self-report of childhood experiences many years or even decades later.
In this prospective longitudinal study of adolescents who had a documented history of child maltreatment, the Female Adolescent Development Study, led by our senior collaborator, Dr. Jenny Knoll, we had the unique opportunity to look at a group of young women who had experienced maltreatment and a matched comparison sample who had not. Dr. Knoll followed them annually until they turned 19, assessing their physical and mental health status. This cohort is now in their mid to late 20s, and our group of collaborators, which includes developmental psychologists, pediatric psychologists, and pain researchers, decided to specifically investigate their pain outcomes to begin to answer the very crucial question of whether early experience of maltreatment is associated with greater risk of developing pain problems in adulthood, and whether this was a direct result of maltreatment, or whether other factors like the psychological impact of maltreatment, in other words, how maltreatment affected the young person, were related to pain outcomes. So approximately 9 years after adolescents finished the original study, we were able to locate 80% of participants and ask them about their pain, with equal proportions of women who had and had not experienced maltreatment completing the young adult survey.
We asked them if they had experienced any pain in the past week, their average intensity of that pain, and the number of pain areas affected. Then, using statistical mediation models, we examined whether maltreatment directly predicted the pain outcomes in adulthood, or whether maltreatment increased post-traumatic stress symptoms, which in turn would increase the pain outcomes. We found that maltreatment status significantly increased post-traumatic stress symptoms related to avoidance, re-experiencing, and arousal. Further, higher re-experiencing and arousal significantly predicted experiencing any pain in the past week, and explain the relationship between maltreatment and experiencing any pain. However, post-traumatic stress symptoms did not explain the relationship between maltreatment and average pain intensity. Finally, avoidance symptoms explained the relationship between maltreatment status and the total number of areas affected by pain in a young adulthood.
Together, this suggests a fairly complicated relationship between maltreatment, post-traumatic stress symptoms, and pain, where those young people at greatest risk for pain in adulthood experience both maltreatment and elevated post-traumatic stress symptoms as adolescents. More studies are needed to understand this complex relationship between a young person's maltreatment and pain. We also need to examine how young people perceive and cope with maltreatment, both psychologically and from a biologic perspective, and how contextual factors such as the family and social environment may influence these outcomes.
In addition, research is needed to understand the biological mechanisms that connect stress, inflammation, and pain processing, which could be interacting with maltreatment and post-traumatic stress symptoms to elevate the risk for clinical pain syndromes. Additionally, our study was focused on women, but it's just as important to explore these associations in boys and men to understand whether these risk factors operate in similar or different ways based on the sex or gender. Eventually, we hope that using a developmentally informed approach to unravel the complex interactions between early life stress and pain will help prevent and treat pain before it becomes chronic and intractable.